Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast for nannies by a nanny. I am your host. My name is Martha Reddick. And each week on this podcast, we discuss issues involving nannying. This week, we are going to be talking about starting with a brand new family and transitioning into a household. And my guest this week is my dear friend and nanny extraordinaire, Leah Friars.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Just to give you a little bit of background about Leah and myself, we are both nannies in Chicago.
Yes.
We've both been nannying about 5 years.
I think I'm four.
4 years?
So a little under you.
But you also nannied in Atlanta.
I did. I say 4 years in Chicago.
Yes. This week we're talking about starting with a new family, which is a big scary thing, even for seasoned nannies.
Yep.
I always, even date nights sometimes when it's a new kid,
mm-hmm.
I come home more exhausted from like an hour before they go to bed of a date night with a new kid than with kids that I'm with 10 hours a day if I know them.
Yeah. They don't know you. You don't know them. You don't know their routine.
Yeah, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
It's that decision fatigue because you're making all of the decisions all day.
Yep.
So great. So you've interviewed, you applied, reverse that.
Yep. You've applied, you've interviewed.
You got the job.
Woo. Now what?
Now what?
Uh-oh.
First and foremost, finding out exact hours is important, especially if you, like Leah and myself, are actors or you have anything else going on in your life.
Yeah.
Because there are parents out there or families out there that if you are their nanny, you are expected to be there until they get home and they don't necessarily tell you when that's going to be.
Yes.
So that's a good thing to ask in that interview.
And even asking, are there going to be days that might be later?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to come up at all? Because you need to know that for your own schedules.
Yes.
Because they rely on you. If you need to leave, you can't.
Right. This is not like a job, like a computer
no one can fill
desk
in for you.
Job where it's like, oh, I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done today. I'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can't just walk out.
Finish.
So yes, that is something that is particular with this job.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true of every job.
Yeah.
So just knowing the expectations on the hours.
And knowing that it's okay to give a specific end time if you really need one.
Yes.
Because they need to be just as flexible with you
right.
on your schedule.
Right. And, but also knowing that you need to give that beginning of day.
Yep.
Or earlier.
Way early. Yeah.
Yeah. Ideally earlier, but beginning of day, especially.
Yeah.
No later than beginning of that day.
Because you know how it is. If they're a working parent and they're going to be away. Things happen, things come up, and you know that, but you need to know if there are going to be days that are not going to work.
Right.
That things come up.
Yeah.
And you can't be flexible with a leaving time.
Right. So that communication, that's going to actually probably be the theme of this episode, mm-hmm. is communication is key, especially when you're starting.
I would even say for your sake to ask for
itinerary?
A contract.
Oh, a contract.
To ask for a contract, because then it's all written out. You know exactly what's expected of you. You know exactly what hours they're going to be.
Yes.
You know which holidays you're not going to be working.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will even let you know of vacation plans early, which is always nice to know ahead of time. And vice versa for mm-hmm. you to know, to tell them if you're planning a vacation, which days you're going to need off, because you don't really get days off.
Right.
You just don't.
You don't, because there a lot of families don't have
backup
nannies.
Yeah.
And even if they do, that nanny might not be available.
Yes.
Those days. So, yeah, letting them know as soon as you can
mm-hmm.
about any days off you need and things like that, because they can't take off from their job.
Yeah.
A lot.
No, they can't.
They're taking off as much as they can, probably.
And in a similar way, though, parents can still take sick days,
right,
and stay home because they have you there, but it's hard for you to take a sick day.
Yes.
So just being aware of all of these things and maybe being upfront and asking them what their backup plan is if you need to take a day off for any reason.
Right.
Knowing that they have one is really helpful mm-hmm. because I know that I've worked for a family before where I was really sick mm-hmm. from their kids. Their kids got me really sick,
right.
Stomach flu sick, and I had to take a day off. And they asked me, well, what should we do? And I was like, I don't know. Stay home from work?
Yeah.
I can't come in.
Yeah. And then also knowing beforehand with any new family that you start with, especially if you're full-time, do you get paid sick days?
Yes.
And how many?
Paid vacations.
Or paid vacation. Yeah. And how many?
Mm-hmm.
That's super important. And that a contract would take care of that.
And
but
discussing if you're going to take taxes out and everything is really important too. Like, what kind of job is it going to be under the table? Or
right.
And a lot of that is like what you prefer too. Because a lot of families, I feel like, could go either way.
Yes. Yeah. But you need to let them know up front.
All up front. Yep.
So
I would say even in the interview process, this is like probably where you should say all of this.
Right. But if you got the job and didn't cover all of this,
that's okay too.
That's okay too. And now is the time though.
Yes.
It's not 6 months in.
Because
when
right
you get
now,
sick.
You are the parent's greatest resource.
Yes.
You are the most important thing in the world to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they will try and accommodate. They will try and be flexible with you.
Yes.
Because they can't really do anything without you at this point.
Right. So, great. You've covered sick days and pay mm-hmm. and all of that good
vacations,
stuff.
Vacations, everything. Yep.
Vacations. You arrive at 7:30 a.m. on your first day.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do? You've got to feed them breakfast.
Yep. That's
a lot of
the
time.
Thing.
If they haven't had breakfast, get them fed, because children are monsters when they are hungry.
So are adults.
So are adults.
But children are worse monsters.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Because they don't have as many social filters.
Nope.
So yeah, get them fed. And that is when those allergies,
mm-hmm.
those allergies. And anybody with kids with serious allergies most likely will tell you, but don't depend on it.
Yeah.
Also
a good talking point about what kinds of foods that they eat.
Yes.
And what they like to eat, what they shouldn't be eating, especially for certain meals like breakfast. Like, maybe some parents don't want their kids having so much sugar right in the morning, you know?
Right.
So
not
finding out
Lucky Charms every day.
Yes. But finding out like what they like to eat, and that's also a good question to ask.
Yes. And as you transition to getting to know those kids, finding that balance of what the parents say they should be eating
mm-hmm.
and what they're actually going to eat.
Yes.
Because I feel like especially for full-time nannies, sometimes you end up knowing their children's eating habits better than they do.
Definitely, because you're there all day.
Mm-hmm. For example, a kid that I have nannied for really, really, really didn't like snap peas. And his mom consistently, because in that family, she would write down what she wanted them to eat that day, like the ideal of what, and we could change it. It was flexible, but just like based on what we have in our fridge right now, I think this is the best meal. And she would do snap peas all the time, and I just wouldn't. Give them. And I would write down something else, but it got to be where he went into kindergarten and she was packing snap peas in his lunch. And I was like, you just gotta,
he doesn't like them. Stop it.
You just gotta tell her.
Yeah.
Cause she's gonna keep doing it.
Yeah.
And he did. And I wrote a note too at that point.
That's nice.
But he also was like, Mom, I don't like snap peas.
Yeah. And that's after like trying them a lot of times. So like there are kids that are like, I don't like this. And you're like, well, you've tried it one time. So that doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Yeah.
But yeah, so knowing food, because that is something that you are going to deal with probably six times a day. Mm-hmm. If you are there for 10 hours, that's about six.
Yeah.
Eating points.
Yes.
Meals, during the day.
Snacks. Yeah.
So covering food from the jump, talk to the parents about it and then talk to the kid about it if they can talk. If they're a baby, then it's a lot simpler.
Yeah.
Because
they're going to be on a schedule. The parents will provide you what schedule they're on.
Yes.
And which food they need to be eating.
Exactly. Yeah. And when. But for toddlers and really little children or even older children.
Yeah.
Talk to them about what they like.
Yeah.
And for older children, also getting them involved in cooking.
Mm-hmm. They love to help.
They love to help.
And even if it's just stirring something.
Oh my gosh, they'll stir forever.
They will. And they like do a pretty good job.
Or sometimes I get them to wash dishes.
Oh yes. That is the best.
It's the best.
They love that. Yeah. Bubbles. Just put bubbles in a sink.
Yeah.
And they will clean all your dishes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, food is important because nobody is in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If meals aren't happening.
That is very true.
Or if they just don't touch anything on their plate. Because I've certainly served something to a child and said, like, this is what's for lunch. You have to eat this or not. And that has come back and bitten me on the behind of, like, 2 hours later, tantrum city.
Yeah.
So striking that balance with the child of, I want you to try this,
but I
also want you to eat something. So yeah, so that's all good to know.
Yeah.
Cleaning, what you're expected to do household wise.
Most of the time, it's going to be anything that the kids deal with.
Yes.
So any kid dishes, any laundry that they have, picking up toys, things like that. Usually you don't have to do the parents' work or anything like that,
unless you transition into being a house manager, which a future guest will talk about that, because she just transitioned into being a house manager because the child is now in
old enough,
is now in school all day, but they loved her so much that they wanted to keep her. And for example, with me, I have less hours now. So one day a week I come in early and like for 3 hours while the kid is in school, I go run errands.
Yes. I'm in a similar position. I do it like 2 days a week, I think, which is also really difficult. And maybe need to talk about that too, because we were talking about this earlier. Grocery shopping for other people is difficult.
And terrifying.
And terrifying. Especially if they can't be on their phones and communicating with you, like, they don't have this type of milk. Is this milk going to be okay?
Right.
You have to make some split decisions sometimes. But obviously, after a while of doing that, you get into the routine and rhythm and know what is a better second option. So,
but that is good advice for right when you start. If you are going to be expected to do grocery shopping or even even if you're not, taking note of the things that they choose to buy and the brands that they choose to buy right from the jump is really a good idea.
Yeah.
Just starting to like look like, oh, they get the like antibiotic free chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, by this specific brand.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing is like, how healthy is the family that you're nannying for?
Yeah.
Or how health conscious?
Yeah.
How much stock do they put in?
Right.
Like, it needs to be organic.
Yeah. Does every meal need to have a specific meat protein? Or is there are there other options that you prefer?
Right.
Yeah.
Or I have never run across this, but is the family vegetarian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or vegan. Mm-hmm. That would be...
That would be hard.
Really hard. Yeah. But there are families where the whole family is vegan. And that's... Great. Good job.
And you learn to cook a lot of interesting food.
You do.
Yep.
You do. So yeah, taking note of the types of brands that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've had breakfast.
Yes. Now what?
Now what?
Now what do you do?
Some really good resources when you are getting to know kids are libraries.
Yes.
Because the type of book that they check out is a treasure trove of information about them. I just went to the library. A kid spilled his ice cream and was just
beside himself,
heartbroken.
Of course.
And the ice cream man had moved on. So there wasn't an option to get more. And so we went to the library and looked up ice cream books as like a, and that's not getting to know him, but that knowing that researching something would make him feel better is something that I've learned now, but you can use that as an asset early on.
I also think one of the things that I like to do is have them do a little bit of solo play just to see what kinds of things they're playing with. And also when they're a little bit older, what kinds of things their imaginations come up with, like what kinds of storylines they use when they're like playing with action figures or figurines or anything like that, especially because they might be a little hesitant to warm up to you right away.
Right.
So I like to let them play a little bit, let them know that I'm there, and then ask questions about the games that they're playing. And like, oh, what if this character joined in? And they can be like, absolutely not. You're wrong.
That character doesn't exist in this world.
Exactly. And like, oh, I didn't know. But just to like see how they play and what kinds of stories and things that they come up with, I really like.
That's a great idea. Yeah. There's also a lot of families that I've nannied for. I've seen these, and I've actually gotten it as a gift for some families. There are cards that are, I think they're called Tell Me a Story cards, and they have pictures on them. And so doing that with a kid, because so the order that they get laid down in, and then you create the story to connect to those.
Oh, that's very cool.
It's a really cool, it's a great gift.
Yeah.
Hence for everyone. And because it's a picture, they don't have to be able to read.
Yeah.
And they like have recurring kind of characters. Mm-hmm. The ones that I'm specifically thinking of have like a squirrel and a porcupine. And, you know, like the porcupine is carrying a letter and then like having a party. And it's like, you know. But depending on how it gets doled out.
Yeah.
So that's a really great resource if you have those cards and bring them with you that first week. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Or if you look around and see that they have those cards, getting those out is a really good idea. In that same vein, drawing.
Yes. With kids. I was just going to say that. Yeah, definitely.
Is super. Because even if they are so young that you don't
know
what it is. Some kids that I have nannied for drew snow shovels over and over over. And then when it snowed, I saw why. Because they each had their own shovel and they loved shoveling the path.
That's awesome.
You know? And so you learn so much.
And even I would say like along the same lines as getting them to play and then asking them questions, getting them to draw something. And even if they hadn't had a specific idea of what it was when they made it, asking them what it is, they'll just come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see that and their imagination fostered by that. So
yeah. And having them draw people.
Yes.
Like their own family.
Or giving them scenarios maybe of like something to draw. Although that gets kind of tricky because then a lot of them are like, I don't know how, you do it.
Right.
Yeah. which happens a lot.
Yes.
Once you show them that you can draw something, they will ask you to draw it a million times.
Which is a problem for Leah, and it's not really a problem for me because I've never been able to show a child that I can draw because I cannot.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think I'm a great drawer, but you draw a ghost and they're like, that's amazing. Please draw that 80 more times.
Actually, I have gotten into that situation once with a cupcake.
Uh-huh.
Once I saw I could draw a cupcake, it was game over.
Yeah.
I drew so many cupcakes.
So many cupcakes.
Those little girls.
They're all over the place.
Another fun thing to help figure out personality is making a playlist.
Ooh.
If they like music, it's also really helpful for car rides.
So helpful.
Because if they had a say in the playlist, then they're going to be quiet and listen to it. And then you can focus on driving.
Yes.
Just saying, like, what kind of music do you like? Spotify is a really
Disney
great tool.
Playlist. Thank you. Spotify sponsored.
Yeah.
Not really, but maybe.
Spotify. Shout out.
Yeah. I'm in a interesting situation because when I first started, the kids that I nannied, they didn't like to listen to music in the car. And it wasn't that they wanted to talk either. They just liked these silent rides, which drove me insane.
Right.
Because I need to talk. And sometimes I would ask questions and they would just be like, stop talking to us. And I'm like, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? Talk radio. They started to request talk radio, The Moth, like NPR, any storytelling kind of podcast. They loved it. Now they're a little older. They like their music. And now we all get to pick a song in the playlist, which is really great. So that I get some of my own music
in
there.
Your little touchstones.
My little influences of little Motown action.
Nice.
I mean,
I will also say The Beatles.
So good.
One.
Yes.
The album One.
Yeah.
I bought that specifically for nannying because they never curse.
Nope.
And that is something. Because also keep in mind with playlists or songs or anything that you introduce, you are signing yourself up for 3 to 9 months of that.
Of that same
on
thing
repeat.
Over and over again.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Music, playlist, and having a dance party.
Oh, that's the best.
Is a great
self-expression.
Way. Self-expression.
Yes.
Passes time, gets them moving, worn out for that nap time.
Yep.
That is something that is a great way to get to know a kid that's structured enough that you both feel safe and secure. I mean, you feel safe and secure probably always, but that the child knows the rules of that.
Yeah.
And you can show them how silly you are. Because I think that especially during that first week, showing them that you are silly and you are going to play with them.
Yes. Very important.
Is so important in building that trust and that relationship. Mm-hmm. So those are some really great things to do. Like, when you first start.
Yeah, when you're getting to know them, trying to figure out their personalities, how they mesh with you, and figuring out a routine of things that you know that they're going to like. That they're always go-to things that you can do with them.
And I would say, especially when you first start, erring on the side of over-planning for the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a really good idea. Have bailout activities of like, nope, that is not working.
Yeah, because there are things that they're not going to like to do.
Right.
And you will tell them what it is and how awesome and fun it is. And they'll do it for a minute and then be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
And then you're like, great.
Okay. I didn't have anything else. So like what?
Yep.
Yeah. So definitely having a plethora of activities and things to do. And taking a walk, going outside, like exposing them to nature, seeing what kinds of things they point out to you. What kind
of walk around the block can take an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's dig in this dirt and see if we can find a worm.
Yeah. Or like that rock looks interesting.
Yeah.
Put that stick down.
Stop hitting your brother.
Exactly. All
Hold
clues to their beautiful, beautiful personalities. Yes. Especially if the parents don't want you to drive them.
That's also a big thing.
Or you just don't have like the car that day.
Or
the
feel
parents
comfortable doing it quite yet. Which is fair. That's totally fair.
All of those, besides the library potentially, you don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
To do. The park is always another good option.
There's so many parks in the city of Chicago.
There are. And there's so many.
And finding a new park. One summer we just did the summer of parks and we went to a new park every day because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And it kept them so interested. And if there was one they really liked, we would go back to it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because there are some that have a specific thing that they love.
And some of them have water and some of them don't. Just, things like that.
Or a big field next to it.
Yes. Where you can have picnics or just let them run and bring a ball and then they're done.
And then they nap.
Yep. So hard.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Speaking of naps, that's another really good thing that you need to learn in those first couple weeks is their schedule.
Yes. The routine. How they do things because kids are creatures of habit.
So
and if
hard.
They do something with their parents, they're going to expect that it's the exact same way with you.
Right. Or if you are coming in replacing a previous nanny.
Oh, yeah.
There's also
that's big too.
That of like, that's not the way we
used
to do it.
And they'll transition to things that they you will. Do specifically. But especially in those first couple days, weeks, it's important to make them feel like nothing's really changed.
Right.
We're still doing the same things.
And I'm still, I'm honoring your schedule over my own.
Yes.
So knowing when they're expected to go down to nap. Mm-hmm. And then in those first couple weeks, you'll figure out when they actually go down for nap.
Or like adjusting the activities that you do during the day.
Right.
To like, how much time do I have to get home to put them down? Yeah.
Yes. That's a good point. Or how much time, like traffic in Chicago or in the city where you are is a big factor of like from 4 to 6, you have to tack on probably 30 minutes extra.
At least.
Like it's just going to take a while.
Yeah.
And that's when that playlist is.
Yeah. I would also say that knowing how much time it's going to take to actually do the whole nap time routine, like do they read a book before?
Yes.
Do they change into comfier clothes? Like what is
do they put on a pull up?
Oh yeah, exactly.
If they're still training potty training.
Mm-hmm. Just
you
all
don't
of
train
that
to wear a diaper.
No, you don't. You just kind of get thrown right into that.
Yep.
They don't even ask you.
No.
They just pull one on you.
Oh my gosh.
I know. What if you didn't even want to? What if you just wanted to go potty right away?
Wow. We never ask.
We never ask.
That's guys. These are changing some things.
I mean, these are questions that we all have.
Yeah. But yes, if they need to, if they're a bedwetter.
Yep.
Because even older kids, like nighttime sits, there are some kids that I know I need to set an alarm for 10:30 because after they've been in bed for a couple hours, they need to like
go to the bathroom.
Yeah. So I have to like wake them back up, go to the bathroom and then get them back to sleep. So things like that are important to know and good questions to ask.
I would also say, I just want to touch on this a little bit because it's important on like what money you're going to spend, which is another really good question to ask in the beginning. How are we going to spend money? What kind of money do you want me to spend? Because I've had it both ways where I've had a family that's given me a credit card and I've just had that credit card the entire time. Or there's like a drawer full of cash, or I pay for everything on my cards and turn in receipts.
Yes.
So you want to know what you prefer, what they prefer, and if they will be flexible, just like what that situation is, or like how much money they want you spending on them. Like some are like, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Go to every place in the world and spend lots of money. Others are like, I need to keep it tight.
Right.
So it's like a certain amount a week.
Yes.
So that, and that will be important on like what kinds of activities that you do. Like if you need to do a lot of free activities or if you can just go to museums and play places all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So yes, knowing kind of what your daily or weekly budget
is
is very mm-hmm. is good to know. And also, like, for eating out, because yeah. eating out can be, like, oh, a yeah. super special treat. Leah and I have taken the kids that we nanny to pizza places yeah. where they can build their own pizza.
That's really fun. And especially if they can get involved in it. It's mm-hmm. they love it.
And it's shaped like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Disney, sponsor me.
so many sponsors.
I know. Hopefully one of them will work. Yeah.
Just keep name dropping.
I will. But yes, they... things like that mm-hmm. of can we go out to eat or do we have to yeah. stay at home and eat?
Yeah.
Great. So that is some general advice on starting with a new family.
Yeah, getting started, figuring it out.
Really, what I would say is just ask a lot of questions and really reach out to the parents and the kid.
Yes.
Because you also have to remember that you are now in control, but for a child that can be super scary. Someone yeah. that they don't know, that they had no choice in them coming into mm-hmm. and you coming into their lives.
Yeah.
And now you're telling them what to do.
Yeah.
Which actually we did forget one thing, discipline.
Yeah.
Asking about like
that's
timeouts.
A huge thing. Or, I figured that would be a whole nother episode.
And it will be. It will be. But just touching on that right yeah. now of figuring out discipline
yeah, exactly.
styles of the parents and where you overlap, mm-hmm. where you differ, and is it okay if you differ?
If you differ, yeah.
Because kids need very, very, very clear boundaries.
They need them and they love them, actually.
Yes. And it seems like they don't sometimes, and they do. I promise
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely. It makes them feel safe.
It does.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So asking the parents what they do mm-hmm. when the kids talk back.
And those kinds of things will probably shift in the time that you're working with them. And a lot of it will be talking with the parents on, like, he's been showing a lot of this behavior, or she's been doing this lately. Like, how can we switch that? And mm-hmm. they'll probably come to you for a lot of that because you spend all day with them.
Yes.
And they're going to want to know.
Yes.
What's working.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, just keeping those doors of communication open.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of families that I've started with have had kind of a communication log mm-hmm. ready to go for me.
Oh,
but if,
yeah.
if the family doesn't have that, I would also suggest that of including what they ate that day.
What time.
Mm-hmm. How long they napped. Bathroom
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
It's important because if they poop during the day, then the parents should know that.
Because if they don't poop at night and they're like, did you not poop all day? How
right.
do I know? Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And if they haven't pooped in several days,
yes.
then there's
a problem.
and then also just the ups and downs of
yeah.
the day.
Yeah.
Like
if
I always try to
time out or
yes.
if somebody pushed or anything or right. even the good things.
Right. I always try yeah. to include one
yeah.
good thing.
Yeah.
One maybe. I never try to include one thing
include.
That needs to be yeah. adjusted. Yeah. But if something happened that day.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the families, I will actually just send them a text like
yeah.
in the moment.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of parents want updates during the day with
yes.
pictures and things that you're doing because it makes them feel like they know what's going on, that they're not just in the dark of everything, and they want to see their kids in the middle of the day.
Yeah, because they miss them.
Yeah.
And that actually is another really good point of if you plan on taking pictures mm-hmm. and putting them up
yes.
on social media, you
ask.
Need to ask the parents
Absolutely.
For permission. Because a lot of parents are fine with it, but if they are not, that could be a really big deal
mm-hmm.
if they were trying to keep their child completely off
yeah.
of social media and you're just putting up pictures.
Yeah.
Given a lot of the parents that I've talked to have been like, yes, I was very much strict about that in the beginning. And then I realized
yeah.
everywhere I take my child, other people are taking pictures
yeah.
of whatever.
Yeah.
Like at the zoo,
yeah.
my child is next to the elephant.
Right.
So
yeah.
they're going to be on social media.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's an important question to ask.
Absolutely.
Because it's their children. It's their children's privacy or their family's privacy.
Yeah.
Because it's also like their household.
And I was going to say that too, that we should have touched upon that a little bit, is that you are so in their world now.
Yes.
That everything that you see and that they do and papers that are left out, you're going to come in contact with them. So it is really important to know, to make sure that their stuff is kept private. This yes. is their family. This is their house. You might be dealing with some really delicate things, but know that it stays there.
Right, right. That's your responsibility yeah. as a nanny yep. is to and keep their privacy.
As a human being.
And as a human being, yes, yes. Oh, one other thing that I just thought of to maybe ask, I would ask in an interview, but also make sure that you know, is there a gun in the house?
Ooh,
and if God. So, where is it?
Yeah, that's real important.
I know a nanny that actually asked that in interviews, and if there is a gun, will not take on that family.
Interesting.
But knowing your stance on that, your yeah. personal stance on that, and then also if there is one, because you're nannying for toddlers
yeah.
and they will get into everything. Yep. You can have it on the highest shelf, locked away, and they will find a way.
Yep.
Life finds a way.
you can't be watching them all the time.
Yeah.
You have to step away to wash a dish, to put something in the laundry, anything.
And it takes 2 seconds.
It takes 2 seconds.
So just knowing that from
yeah that's a good one
very first moment Absolutely. That you step into their household is a good idea.
Wow.
Also just taking stock of the house when you walk in of like, is it properly baby proof?
Yeah.
And if
where
it's
are the
not,
fragile things
yeah. yeah where are the family heirlooms,
what things don't you want your kids to be touching, what yes. rooms should they not go in?
Yes, because there yeah. are families that are like, this room is totally fine if it's a wreck. Mm-hmm. This room, when we come home, we want it cleaner. And they yeah. might not say it like that, but also as you walk in every day, watching what they cleaned up that yes. the night before, yeah. because that's probably the room that they want clean when they get home.
Yeah.
So if you are spending time at the end of the day tidying up, I would focus on that room over like, this is the kids' play yeah. area.
Which is going to be a mess.
It's
no going to
be
what.
A mess, whatever. You can clean it up and...
Yeah.
Because I also have like spent a lot of time getting the kids to help me clean up. And then the parent gets home and like within 5 minutes of the parent...
Destroyed.
It's destroyed again. And I'm like, well, I tried.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are... Yeah.
All
some
things
really
getting started.
Really good things to keep in mind when you're starting with a new family. It is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And just hang in there.
Yeah.
Know that
you'll get through it. It'll get easier.
It will. And if you are friends with other nannies, either reaching out to them during the day or having them like meet you for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
After that first week
mm-hmm.
to just
decompress and talk about it
is a really, really good idea for your own health and sanity.
Yeah. Because a lot of other people that don't have this job don't realize
they don't
the toll that it takes on you.
Yeah.
And you need to talk to people who get it, which is why parents get together with other parents to drink.
Yes, exactly.
They need to, and they will spend the entire time talking about their children because they need to just vent. They need to know what other parents do, or is this bad? Am I doing the right thing? It's just the same with nannies.
Yes. And just realize that you are not alone and that it does get easier mm-hmm. and you will fall in love with the children.
Yes.
Because every child is wonderful
yeah,
in their own way. And
are.
I do honestly believe that. But during those first couple weeks, just know that it might feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And that's okay. Because you will get there.
Yes.
But
and more than likely, the parents will be checking in with you, asking how things are going, making adjustments
yes.
based on what's been going on. And that's where you can voice your own opinions and your own concerns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. So at this point in the episode, we are going to have Leah share a fun quote.
Okay.
Or
so,
story.
Yes. A little bit of background on this one, a little setup. I was talking with the 3-year-old that I nanny about boy and girl parts because he asked me straight up if I had a penis. And I told him that I did not. And instead of using vagina, because I feel like that's a little harsh, I say vulva because mm-hmm. that's actually the external genitalia. Anyway, so we were going over this and I asked him, all right, so boys have penises and girls have And he just looked at me and said, long hair. Because all the pictures of girls have long hair.
That is very, very good. It's a good point. Really get the lesson.
No, he didn't. Especially because then I had to explain to him that girls actually don't all have long hair.
Right. And then there was some gender stereotype talk.
Yes. Oh, yes. We went through the whole thing for a three-year-old.
That's delightful.
He got a lot more knowledge than he wanted or needed.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Leah, for being here.
Thank you, Martha. It was a pleasure.
And thanks for listening. See you next week. The Chronicles of Nanny is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.